Shocker, I know I saw you tweet out that the Oilers have put in an offer to Petrie, but here's the thing. Too little, too late? Like, it's almost like, well, they woke up and now they're going to give an offer sheet. Not an offer sheet, a contract. It seems kind of just too little, too late.
Yeah, and just to clarify, I mean, you know, what I'm tweeting or what I'm saying is that there have been discussions between the Oilers and Petrie's camp about an extension, and that, you know, wouldn't surprise me if an offer has been extended. So it's kind of, I know that they've been talking. So this idea that they haven't even tried is not entirely accurate. They have had talks with Petrie's camp, and absolutely, fair point. Might be too little too late, and I don't really know what the numbers would look like or what the willingness from either side would be, but I mean, it's getting down to the 11th hour here with this player. And if you're Jeff Petrie's camp, I mean, why would you stay, right? Why would you not want to test out, see what free agency looks like? So I think it's pretty unlikely that a deal gets done. And I don't think that the Oilers would be willing to give him the kind of money he would get in on the open market anyways. And I've maintained that all along. I don't think they're willing to give Jeff Petrie what open market free agency money would look like. But I think that my guess would be to extend him what they feel is an offer they think makes sense and works for them. And if Jeff doesn't want to take that, then thanks, and off you go. But I don't think that they're just going to let him walk without even putting an offer on the table.
You know, that's interesting, Ryan, and I understand where you're coming from. We've seen it before. But you know what? If you're only going to make an offer that's what you think is fine, you're asking a player to forego a lot of money, and it's not like you can say, but you can win here. Like, what's the attraction? To me, it sounds like they're perfectly willing to make an offer that they know he's going to refuse. It seems to me they've made up their mind. The rest is window dressing.
Well, and one of the other things, too, about signing a deal in unrestricted free agency is by waiting to July 1st, I mean, you know who your coach is going to be. You know the situation you're walking into. And not that that matters everything. But, I mean, let's be fair to McTavish here. I mean, Petrie has been very, very good for a number of weeks now. Right? His game has elevated, like a lot of players, to a different level. So should McTavish have seen and understood that this level of play was in Petrie and that it was going to happen eventually? Because I think Petrie has been on another level compared to where he's been most of his time as an Oiler. He's showing things in his game that haven't been there for most of his time as an Oiler. So was McTavish supposed to just know that was coming in the off season or even in the months leading into free agency here? Like, Petrie's shown another level here as he approaches free agency. So, look, it's a GM's job to predict a player's talent level and his ability level. I just don't think that they're willing to overpay this player a whole pile of money. I mean, rather than give Jeff Petrie $4.5 or $4.75 million, you know, maybe they save that money and try and land a guy who's a legitimate top pairing guy, or you pay $6 million for a guy who's going to come with some offense as well. Or, you know, I've maintained all along, this is not a player that I think they want to quote unquote overpay for his skill set.
Yeah, which leads the question, why are they willing to overpay Nikita Nikitin? And why? And you talk about, like, last summer, it was clear in the GM's mind, based on actions and words, that they felt Justin Schultz last summer was going to be a better player than Jeff Petrie, where there was nothing on the ice that suggested that.
Yeah, and I'm not willing to say that's a bad bet at this point. I mean, Schultz has a long way to go, but I think he's been better as well. And to your point about Nikitin, it's a lot different to overpay Nikitin on a 2-year stopgap deal. You know, yeah, it's a lot of money and there's some risk there, but it's a 2-year risk. I can't imagine Petrie does anything less than 6 years somewhere. He's 27 years old. If I'm the agent, I'm pushing hard for 6 years, right? Then you're doing your next deal at 33 when you can still be pretty good and leverage some pretty good money still as a 33-year-old. So a 2-year risk on Nikita Nikitin to fill a spot, yeah, it looks bad. It wasn't a great move. That's different than throwing 6 years at a guy.
Yeah, you don't think in the summer, Shogger, as a 26-year-old, you could have got Petrie for 4 or 5 years then?
Yeah, maybe in the summer before unrestricted free agency, you might have been able to get him for 4 or 5 years. Maybe that would have looked a little bit different for sure. But, I mean, at that point, he hadn't really shown you, hadn't really shown them what he's showing them right now. So, I mean, look, it's... it's Craig McTavish's job to understand what his asset is, what it has the potential to be. And I think for the most part, he was pretty solid in his mind on what Petrie was going to be. Well, all of a sudden, he changes his head coach, things around the team change, and Petrie shows a whole new level that he hasn't shown yet. And so McTavish is probably looking at it going, all right, well, let's see if there's something that can be done. And if there is, great. And if there's not, then we move the asset.
Yeah, and you're right, Ryan. I mean, everybody's got to fess up. Media guys are the ultimate Monday morning quarterbacks.
Sure.
We get hindsight. But let me say this and give me your take on it. My sense is, not just in these dealings with Petrie and with Schultz, but even with, you mentioned the coach, Mac T can be stubborn. And when it works out, you go, okay. But when it doesn't, you go, man. Like, it seems they set their minds. I mean, Justin Schultz, yeah, to me, hadn't done anything to warrant the Norris Trophy comment. The GM said it. Maybe he would want to take it back, but he said it. And you're Jeff Petrie, and you're going, I'm more ears in the organization than this guy. I'm a different player, I know. I don't have the numbers. But I can't get more than a one-year sniff out of these guys?
Yeah.
Like, it's just gone sideways.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think people need to, I mean, doing more than 1 year with Jeff Petrie was buying unrestricted years off of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to do more than a year, now you're buying UFA years off Jeff Petrie, and those numbers always look different. So, yeah, I don't blame Jeff Petrie. Drafted, developed by the organization, really miscast for a lot of his time here. Probably undervalued, I think would be fair to say. And then when it comes time to look to cash in on the long-term deal, the organization's kind of going, we're not really sure what you are yet. We don't view you as one of our core guys we're willing to do that with.
Yeah.
So here's a one-year deal, and you challenge the player on a one-year deal. And you say, show us what you are then. If you think you're that good, show us what you are. And so you do that. Petrie took the challenge, took the one-year deal, and has played really, really well recently. And his stock has gone up, no question. And I'm sure his agent is thinking, you go somewhere and go 2.5, 3 rounds into the playoffs, and your stock goes up even further. They took a chance with this player, and he's played well, and now he's going to cash in. But the Oilers have the benefit of knowing him better than any other team in the league. And I believe the Oilers' feeling on Petrie is this is not the guy to overpay on a long-term deal. And I believe firmly that is the way they feel about this player and what their actions dictate.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Shogger, what's your thoughts on Boston tonight? Will they go with Subban, or do you got to go with Tuukka Rask in a game you need to win?
Yeah, you know what? I think everything I saw this morning leads me to believe they'll go with Tuukka Rask tonight. Tuukka was out there, I think, just for a really short time on the ice. Subban was out there for quite a while. They didn't make either goaltender available at first. And then they made Rask available, who just said, I don't know if I'm starting or not. Like, this is what I think happened. I think that they recalled Subban earlier this year. Julien couldn't find a game for him. They sent him back down. And I think that the management probably wasn't thrilled with that. So now they recall him again, and I think he's been told, get this guy into a flipping game. And so Julien says, well, we're going to play him some point on the road trip. Well, then they dropped two straight, right? And now, on this road trip. And now, I mean, this 2 points against the Edmonton Oilers is crucial for this team. And so I know there was a discussion among management and the coaching staff about what to do, and I'm sure that management wants Subban in the game, but Julianne's probably saying, you want me to make the playoffs, or do you want me to get your first-round goalie some playing time? Because I might not be able to do both here. And my guess is a veteran coach wins out in that argument at this time of year. And so I think we see Rask play tonight. But I think there's pressure from management to get Subban some playing time. That's what the tea leaves told me this morning from being at the rink.
Yeah, you know what? I think you got the right read, Ryan. I mean, Claude Julien wants employment, and not making the playoffs does not go over well back in Boston. You blow a game like that against the Flames, it changes the perspective than if you came in here with that 2 points already in your pocket.
Yeah, no, for sure. And a coach, I mean, what coach is interested in development? Claude Julien is not interested in development. He's interested in winning right flipping now because his job depends on it, right?
Yeah.
So it's management having to sell to the coach that, yeah, win, lose, whatever, don't worry about it. I got your back. We need to get these guys going. You know, we need to play some of these young guys. But that's just not the dynamic in Boston. There's huge pressure to make the playoffs, to win, to be better than they've been. And so I just think, to a veteran coach like that, you probably defer to the coach. And I think that's probably why we'll see Tuukka play tonight. But it was definitely awkward down there this morning because I'm pretty sure Tuukka Rask knew whether he was playing or not, but was in front of the media saying he didn't know yet.
Yeah, whatever. I don't understand why it's such a top-notch secret. They're playing the 20, you know, it's not like they're playing Florida tonight, you know, where they're battling them head-to-head. One last one. So the Orders, you know, I don't see any chance Petr gets a deal done, so he gets traded. What do you think they do next year, realistically, for their back end? Because I don't see them landing a big-name free agent because, A, there isn't any big-name free agents. Johnny Boychuk, I don't think, makes free agency, and if he does, I doubt he signs here. So,
yeah.
How are they going to piece this blue line together?
Well, they'll have Klefbom and Schultz as their so-called pseudo-top pairing.
Mercy.
They will have Keaton and Fane there. They'll have Ferentz there, along with one of Marinchin, Nurse, and a free agent signing. I mean, we're not going to see nearly the turnover in the roster, guys. I think McTavish, he probably likes the idea of bringing back most of the guys from this year's team and tweaking with a few guys here and there. But I don't see them being really aggressive in free agency. I think he's going to keep his fourth line intact. Look for Klinkhammer to get signed here right away. And I think you'll see their fourth line next year of Gordon, Klinkhammer, and Hendricks intact. And I think if you're the Oilers, they probably like the idea of a little bit of certainty in their lineup next year. And that's what they provide them. So I think Klinkhammer gets done. I think the D stays largely the same, and look for Darnell Nurse, Andrew Ferentz, and a free agent signing to round out the bottom three defensemen. Unless somebody from the minors surprises, right? Unless, you know, whoever it is develops and is ready to go next year, one of their draft picks or whoever that might be ready to go.
Yeah. Ryan, your thoughts on Teddy Purcell? We were talking about him. You know, he does some things okay, but, you know, he's not a point producer, and he's not a banger. You got to get better than to have him in your top nine next year, don't you?
Yeah, but, I mean, I think everybody needs to, when we're talking about Teddy Purcell, and I say this respectfully, I think people need to remember the circumstances with which he was brought here. Right? He wasn't... he wasn't an addition in the traditional sense, right? No. They needed to move Sam and a tough contract. Look at that Gagné contract right now, right? They needed to move that contract. And in order to do that, they had to take something back. And so they had Draisaitl coming in. They didn't want to have Gagné on the books. They moved him. But in order to do that, they had to take Purcell back and warts and all. And I think we all know what the warts in Teddy's game are. I think he's been okay, but they weren't dealing from a position of strength and adding exactly what they wanted, right? So he's got some touch. He can play with other skilled players. He can be on the power play if you need him to be. But, I mean, he was soft the other night in Winnipeg, doesn't hit much, pretty soft player. And, yeah, when the Oilers are a winning organization, if they're a winning organization, you don't have too many guys like that in their lineup.
Shauger, we'll see you at the rink tonight.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.